That's big time.
Minus 15.
Respect all, fear none.
Oh, did he belt that one?
Intensity is not a perfume.
It was a no doubter.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We are up in the bird's nest here at Oriel Park at Camden Yards. I am Brendan Mortensen alongside Matt Bonaparte. This is certainly the first time I have done this intro because the Zoom has worked every time we have tried it. We have had no technical issues this morning. Everything is going swimmingly, and Bones is just holding his earpiece up to his ear, not even attempting to fold it around his ear and go back in. It's just going to be a Mission Impossible style urgent message. Something has just come across your wire.
What's the sitch?
What's the sitch? That's what you're going with?
Kim Possible, man. You ever seen it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good.
That's a good call out from you. Didn't think we'd have a Kim Possible reference this early in the show.
Listen,
but here we are.
The amount of takes this has taken, anything's possible.
Really, anything is possible this far in. Well, we are having these technical difficulties, not because of our special guest, but because we are having trouble hearing and talking to and seeing our special guest, but he's here anyway, despite our technical difficulties, and that is our old friend of the program, Tim Leonard. Tim, so good to have you back.
Yeah, just blame all the technical difficulties on me right off the bat.
Yeah,
no, as you guys were struggling through the technical difficulties, I was taking the extra time to run more mock drafts here, and I am really prepared. I'm ready to go. Fired up to be on with you guys once again. We got the band back together, and this is going to be a blast for sure.
Well, Tim, we know this is a very easy month for you. There are no Syracuse sports teams crossing over, and you do not have to do play-by-play for just quite simply 37 teams from our alma mater. It's your easy season. You can just do mock drafts all day long.
You know, it is kind of fitting that I woke up this morning and I'm on a baseball podcast because the Syracuse men's basketball team were recording the night after they lost at Clemson, which effectively kind of ended their at-large bid chances. But hey, maybe someone's listening in the future and they went on a big long run in the ACC tournament and they're laughing at us right now. But I'm moving on to baseball season in a way. So this is perfect timing in a way that it's coming after that tough loss last night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We are moving on to baseball season. And as such, it is our off-season tradition here on the Bird's Nest to do a fantasy draft. And this year we've got the All Orioles Draft. Nobody came up with a better name, so it is called the All Orioles Draft. You made fun of me last week and said that can't be the name. Well, here we are, and it's the name.
I like
because
the name
I didn't
now.
See any
I've
better ideas from you.
Name.
Well, Bones, Tim and I are both kind of vets at this fantasy drafting. Yeah. This is your first one. How are we feeling?
I mean, you being vets is the reason it's going to hurt all the more when I win.
Wow.
And I have the best team.
Fighting words.
Yeah, man. My team's going to be awesome, and I'm pumped to draft it.
Well, let's start off with the rules of the All Orioles draft.
Yeah.
As the name would imply, the pool of players that we will be selecting from are players that the Orioles have selected in the amateur draft dating back to 1965. So that excludes guys like Jim Palmer and Brooks Robinson, who signed with the club before the amateur draft was a thing. And of course, that excludes players that the Orioles acquired in different ways. Even if they were the first team to sign them internationally, whatever it may be, we are just looking at guys that the Orioles selected in the amateur draft. Only their stats with the Orioles will count. So players like Dave Winfield, Josh Hader, who the Orioles selected and went on to have great careers elsewhere, but didn't have great careers in an Orioles uniform, those guys will not be selected because we are only counting stats with the Orioles. And finally, there are no future projections. So we could be drafting guys like Jackson Holliday and Colton Cowser if we were doing a whoever the Orioles draft and future projections. That's not what we're doing here. We're looking at their stats that they have accumulated in an Orioles uniform. So Jackson Holliday, Colton Cowser, guys like that will not be selected.
I think that's most important to think about when you draft active players.
Yes.
It's not about what they could possibly do this season. It's about what they've done in their careers to this point.
Because I'll tell you what, there are going to be some current players are going to be selected in this draft, which is a testament to how well the Orioles have drafted recently and how good their player development staff has been. And we are going to see some current names fly off the board. I think higher than most people would probably expect, given the history of this team.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, you're ready. We're rearing. Yeah. This is a snake-style draft, and last week we randomized the order, so I have the first overall pick. Tim, once again, has the second overall pick, which is just a always tough. Tim, how are we feeling about that?
I'm convinced you guys aren't randomizing the order at this point. I think we've done this, what, three or four times now? And every single time I've had the number two pick. I will say my big boards like the number two pick a little bit better this time around. I'm going to have a decision to make. We'll get into it. But I do think there's maybe more of a cutoff when it comes back to me in the second round. So I might be in a better spot with the number two pick than normal this time around.
Yeah, I think the number two pick is solid here. But again, it just is funny that Tim has continuously gotten the number two pick, which is probably the hardest place to draft from because you don't get to make two selections in a row. And then Matt, you will have picks three and four. It'll go back to Tim with five. I have six and seven, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
I'm pumped. Let's do it.
All right. Well, I've got the number one overall pick, so I will kick things off here. Quite frankly, it was not a difficult selection, both based on the quality of player and the fact that this position is a little bit thin. These two positions, I guess you could say. So with my number one overall pick in the All Orioles draft, I will be going with the second round pick back in 1978. That is Cal Ripken Jr., the Hall of Famer, two-time MVP, 19-time All-Star, 1983 World Series champion, has almost double the WAR of anybody else available in this draft. Look, this was not a hard choice for number one overall. Over 3,000 games in an Orioles uniform, that WAR close to 96. Easy selection. Slam dunk for me at number one.
Yeah, this was the obvious number one pick. I'm not surprised by it. Obviously, like you said, not only because he's such a great player, but also because it's a little bit of a shallower position when you look at the board. So you definitely get a good player right off the rip. No pun intended. Actually, pun intended.
Pun very much intended there
so
for you.
So you put him at third. What's the thought process there?
I put him at third base for right now. I mean, I could put him at shortstop. We'll see how the board falls. But for right now, he slots in for me at third base.
Okay.
Which brings us to our number two overall pick, which I think is a very interesting one for Tim Leonard.
Is very interesting. I've thought long and hard about this. I think last time we did a fantasy draft, my selection was down. We were doing the all future draft, I believe. I was down to Gunner and Grayson Rodriguez at the number two pick after Adley went number one. This feels pretty similar. So the two that I'm between here are Eddie Murray and Mike Mussina. And to me, Eddie Murray is the better player from a statistical standpoint. But as we'll get into over the course of this draft, the biggest takeaway I had when doing research, and we've been talking about it off-air, guys, is the starting pitchers are very thin. So I thought long and hard about this, and I was leaning towards Mike Mussina because of that reason. But, you know, I'm going to go with the best available player here with the number two pick. I'm going to go with Eddie Murray, who was a third-round selection in the 1973 draft by the Orioles. He played 13 seasons for the Birds, had a 56.5 combined baseball reference WAR over those 13 seasons, about 4.3 WAR per season, which is obviously outstanding. And I think it's kind of funny, two things on this, that it's following Cal Ripken Jr. One of the probably more fun facts about Eddie Murray is that he does lead all of Major League Baseball history in sacrifice flies in a career. 128 in his career. He has one more than Cal Ripken Jr., who had 127. And of course, when you go to Cal Ripken's Baseball Hall of Fame page, I just thought it was interesting reading through some of the quotes that he has in there. And he shouts out Eddie Murray, which he's talked about a lot, as being the guy that sort of set the tone for him and was the model big leaguer when he came into the league. So two incredibly durable players to kick things off here on the All Orioles draft.
Yeah, look, I think this is a good pick just purely based on best player available. I will say I'm a little bit surprised because Mike Mussina, as you mentioned, Tim, the starting pitchers, there are some really, really solid options at the top of the board. And then the depth is not quite there on the starting pitcher front. But I do like going with Eddie Murray here. Best player available. Bones, you look almost a little relieved.
I'm thankful for all that's holy right
now.
Wow. I mean, I thought Tim was going to go Moose and that was going to really throw a wrench into things. Listen, I would have been glad to take Eddie Murray and have either Manny Machado or potentially Bobby Grich here at this pick. But I mean,
Bones revealing his board early, but that's
huge.
Okay.
I mean, he's going to get taken by the time I'm back on. So if you didn't have that, you're in deep trouble. I mean, I'm really happy. And with that, I will take Mike Mussina. Yep. Moose on the board for me. I mean, that is huge. We've talked about how the starting pitching later on especially is going to be pretty shallow, and I'm glad to have an ace of aces with Moose at the top. So that's huge for me. Obviously, one of the best pitchers the Orioles have ever had take the mound. First-round pick, 20th overall back in 1990. Nearly a 50 war in Baltimore. That's pretty impressive. And on the turn here, I think I'm going to go Manny Machado.
Okay.
It was between Manny Machado and Bobby Grich. The reason here is solely because of depth at the position. Machado has about 5 less war than Grich does, but Grich at second base, Machado I've got at short and third. He's still one of the best players the Orioles have had in the last 20 years or so. 31 war, and I'm going to put him at third for right now.
Going to put him at third. Yeah, look, I think those are two good back-to-back picks. Bobby Grich up there as well, war-wise, as you mentioned. But Manny Machado, the peak of Manny Machado in Baltimore is really hard to beat.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, this was the thing I was wrestling with last night, was if I end up with the corners, Machado and Murray, and Tim made the smart decision and took Moose, then was I going to take a pitcher here? And now I don't have to worry about it because I got Mike.
Tim, you are up here, and we are getting a lot of fighting words from first-time fantasy drafter Matt Bonaparte, who is really ripping apart your pick of Eddie Murray at number 2. Didn't think an Eddie Murray pick would get ripped like this.
Well, the best available player. I understand why you guys are hesitant or were expecting me to take Mussina. Again, my first inclination was I got to take a pitcher here. But I'm trusting the process here. I've run the mock drafts, and I feel like there are some other great pitchers that are available. The pitching issue is more once you get past like pitcher 8 and into 9, and once we get into part 2 of the podcast. So as long as I make sure I nab the appropriate starting pitchers at the top of the board, I still feel good about things. So yeah, and I think it's kind of obvious who I'm going to select with my next pick here, if you guys want me to just jump right into it.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm going to go Bobby Grich with my next pick here. I do have a question for you guys.
Sure.
I know that he's played some first base in his career. Are we going to allow me to maybe slide him over to first base? He's obviously more known second base, shortstop, that area.
Well, we are going to allow you to do that. However, Tim, you do have a relatively prolific first baseman there in Eddie Murray already.
That's very true. I sort of blanked on that. I think I was running my calculations thinking I took Moose. I'm in my head now. All right, so we'll put him at let's call it shortstop for Bobby Grich.
We will call it shortstop for Bobby Grich.
So this just begs a question for me. Bobby Grich, in an Orioles uniform, played 17 games at first base. So that's, we're allowing that?
We're 17 allowing that.
Games makes you a first baseman?
We're allowing it.
All right, I didn't know the bar was that low. That changes some of my my projections.
I mean, first you're slandering Tim, now you're slandering Bobby Grich.
There's no slander at all. I'm just saying, he only played 17 games at first. That makes him a first baseman.
It does for us.
All right.
It certainly does. Yeah, I think that pick of Bobby Grich makes a lot of sense there, Tim. Good positional versatility. As you mentioned, you could have put him at first base if you wanted to, but putting him at shortstop for right now could put him at second base as well. Gives you a lot of options, and I think those middle infielders are going to be very valuable for you. So putting Bobby Grich at shortstop, I think, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he actually has the highest average baseball reference war of any of the players that we were selecting from. So any player that the Orioles have ever drafted, his average per season, because it was just 7 seasons, is a 5.1 baseball reference war. Now, you could get into, like, some guys, you know, only played a little bit in their rookie year, and it's maybe not exact. I mean, if you want to go through the numbers, you could dig into it more. But bottom line is the guy picked up 36 war over 7 seasons. He was really good at baseball, and I'm very happy to have him here. And that's why when I talked about the number 2 pick wasn't too bad, I feel like there is kind of a drop-off now after Bobby Grich. So I just made it before that.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
That's a good selection there. As you mentioned, there is a little bit of a fall here, but I'm still happy with who I have left available with picks 6 and 7. I'm going to try to make my handwriting look a little bit better here, as this is a really tough angle for the whiteboard. Hey, Brendan, the whiteboard looks great. Thank you, guys. I worked really hard on it, and I do appreciate that. So I've got 2 picks here back to back, and I think I'm going to go with 2 positions of need. The first one, I'm going to select a player that is better known for a different position, but has played enough games at shortstop to make a count. And that's going to be the first round pick back in 1999, 50th overall, That's going to be Brian Roberts. Over 1,300 games in an Orioles uniform, WAR up close to 30. Again, known more as a second baseman, but I'm going to put him at shortstop for right now. Holds a 278 career batting average. Like I said, that WAR up close to 30. Made two All-Star games. I'm happy with my Brian Roberts selection here. And then after B-Rob, I think I've got to go to the starting pitching well, because I have a very long time before I pick again, and I do not want to lose out on one of the top starting pitchers, because Bones, you've already got one. I'm sure Tim will probably select one after me if I weren't to select one here. So I'm going to go with the next highest pitcher on my board, and that's Mike Flanagan. 450 games, 328 of them starts, an ERA of 3.89 in his Oriole career, a 13.23 whip. I think this is an easy pick for me here. He's got the highest WAR by a good stretch of any starting pitcher remaining. He put in a lot of games in an Orioles uniform, a really important pitcher in Orioles history. So I am very happy with getting two prolific Orioles in Brian Roberts and Mike Flanagan, who is a Cy Young winner and won the 1983 World Series in Baltimore. Very happy with those two selections.
Those are good picks. Those are really good picks right there. I mean, again, Brian Roberts didn't play more than 53 games at shortstop, and he didn't play shortstop after 2005. But hey, we'll let you have that. We'll let you have that. And for Flanagan, obviously a good pick. He was definitely the second best pitcher available. And if you let him get to me, I would have taken him, and probably Tim would have too. So that is definitely a good pick, Brendan. Tim? What do you got?
I was thinking Mike Flanagan was my next pick, so you've kind of stumped me here, Brendan. But I think it's a great pick. And look, I think it's also amazing when you look through Mike Flanagan's history here. He won the Cy Young Award, but somehow wasn't an All-Star that season. And that's just because he totally broke out in the second half of that 1979 season. But that's just another one of those like trivia things that you pick up on as you're doing the research on these type of drafts.
Yeah, and just a seventh-round pick for Mike Flanagan, too. And we're going to get to some other Orioles that were not necessarily selected terribly high in the draft. But look, with two of my top three picks here, I've got a second-round pick in Cal Ripken Jr. and a seventh-round pick in Mike Flanagan. So the Orioles finding a lot of good value, not just in the first round. But, Tim, that brings us back to you with your third selection.
Yeah, and I'm still somehow not ready here. This is a tough one.
We have thrown me off on
taking the starter early. I'm a little worried that I'm going to miss the starter train now. And of course, my whole strategy was, as I just said a couple of moments ago, that if I don't take Moose, I've got to make sure that I do lock up some starters early. But I think I'm going to hold off. I'm going to go position player here still. And I'm going to go with the first round pick in the 2003 draft for the Baltimore Orioles, a three-time Gold Glove winner. Two of them came with the Orioles, and I'm going to go with one, Nick Markakis, who played nine seasons in Baltimore, accumulated a 26 WAR. And again, I'm just going kind of based off my big board here, based off the Baseball Reference WAR and their Orioles career. And I'm sort of rolling the dice because I feel like I'm vulnerable for some positions to be that are some thin positions to be nabbed here, but that's the tough part about picking second. I can't double up here, so I'm going to roll the dice. I don't want to leave Markakis on the board, who has kind of slid to me here, and I'm going to get the first outfielder off the board in our draft.
You know, I think that's a relatively strong pick. Markakis was a guy I really
Tim, he doesn't
wanted.
Think that. He was fist pumping off screen. He doesn't think that at
no,
all.
No, Markakis is a guy I love. One of my favorite players of all time, let alone favorite Orioles of all time. He's just a very strong player.
And yet you didn't want him on the team because you were fist bumping.
That's not true. If I could have, I would have taken him on the turn right there. But man, am I glad that Tim did not take Mike Flanagan right there. Mike Boddicker right there. Ooh. And that's the man I will take with this pick because, you know, like Tim alluded to, this is one of the only very, very good pitchers left on the board, and he's a guy I'm pretty happy to have the option to take here. Sixth round pick back in 1978, a Gold Glove winner, ERA title winner, ALCS MVP, and of course a 1983 world champion that I have on my team now. And I'd say that I've pretty much locked up the best 1-2 punch, at least, but potentially best starting rotation, as it's only a four-man.
You have. Look, I think you certainly have two of the best three starting pitchers available on this board. I will say, Bones, this is maybe where your lack of experience in the fantasy draft may come back to hurt you a little bit, because as Tim and I have learned over the last few years, starting pitching doesn't tend to win these fantasy drafts. A lot of the time, it tends to be a lineup. And Tim right now, for as many fist bumps as you want to have, he's got Eddie Murray, Bobby Grich, and Nick Markakis
pitching
in his lineup.
Pitching wins ball games, all right?
Pitching wins ball games. Pitching might not win Twitter polls, but you're up next year with another selection. And Tim, your thoughts on Matt going heavy pitching here?
It is the age-old debate here. Do you draft for the Twitter poll, or do you draft for trying to get the best team? I mean, we've done this so many times, and you're right. That may have influenced my decisions a little bit, Brendan, because for whatever reason, just the way the graphic is published to Twitter, the eyeballs do not go into the corner and see the starting pitchers as well.
They do not.
But I will say, I just thought that you guys weren't going to jump into the pit. Like, I didn't think the Bones is going to double up. That was my theory. So I thought it would come back around to me, and then I could grab Mike Boddicker. So it's poor strategy by me. I mean, I give it to Bones. He's jumped the gun, and I thought the pitchers were going to be available for me, and now I am in a tough spot starting pitching-wise.
And this is why, when I make the graphic later on, I'm going to make the rotation huge on that thing. And that's why, you know, I feel pretty good about both my team right now and the Twitter poll.
Yeah, we should not have poke to the bear that makes the graphics. That is the tough call.
I'm
there.
Making it huge on mine and tiny on yours, and wow, that's how it's going
to
be.
Well, Bones, you do have another selection here. Yes. Are you going to go back to the starting pitching well again?
No, I will not go back to the starting pitching well. Instead, I will take the second outfielder off the board, an 11th round pick back in 1968. This guy was a rookie of the year, an all-star, and a 1983 world champion as well. Al Bumbrey flies off the board, and we're putting him in center field. Yep. I'm very happy to have this guy on our team. I met him when he came for the Mets series last year. One of the nicest guys on the planet. And, you know, we need that in our clubhouse here on Matt's team. So we're happy to have Al Bumbrey.
Yeah, good clubhouse guy there, very Al good, Bumbrey. Yeah. That's big for the lineup there. He's going to give you some solid defense in center field as well. Another position that, you know, there are some studs at the top of the board, but you want to get one of those guys at the top. And Al Bumbrey and Nick Markakis, I think, were pretty solidly the two best outfielders available, and they are off the board pretty early here. Which brings us back to Tim. Tim, are you finally going to dump into that starting pitcher well? Are you going to keep doubling down on the lineup?
At this point, maybe I should just lean into it and just try and hit nothing but homers. Win sure, games sure. 11-9 every time.
Good idea.
I am going to go for the starting pitchers here. Sort of reluctantly, I'm a little upset at how things have gone now. I do feel like I'm in a spot where I almost have to take a pitcher, because if I don't and you guys take another one, again, we're just getting very dire. So I'm going to go with Ben McDonald, who, of course, is one of the rare Orioles on the board, who was taken with the number one overall pick, went 1-1 in the 1990 draft, and played the first 7 of his 9 years in the majors with the Baltimore Orioles. So I think there's a perception out there that maybe Ben McDonald was a little bit underwhelming, considering the status. And when he first came out, he had a great major league debut and made some history in terms of winning his first three starts, in major league history as the number one overall draft pick. But maybe I'm a little biased because Ben McDonald is in our lives and in our living rooms pretty consistently now. Great guy. I think we all appreciate what he's done for the Orioles in his post-playing career. And he's a starting pitcher, and we are running out of starting pitchers very quickly. So I'm going to grab him.
Yeah, I think Ben McDonald is a good pick here. I think there are two pitchers right around this range, and you could have gone with either one of them. Ben McDonald, as you mentioned, you know, number one overall pick. Obviously, he's beloved by Orioles fans, so that pick as well might help you on the polls a little bit, because the folks love Ben McDonald.
I was going to say
that. And you see Ben McDonald on the team, and that's a win for you.
If I could get Mike Mussina to retweet my poll, or excuse me, my team, that would probably help, because there's a good chance you get Ben McDonald to do that for yours, Tim.
Certainly. There's a chance. Yeah. The chance is out there. I'm in an interesting spot here with my next two picks, because I don't want to completely lose out on the starting pitcher that I think was right around the range of Ben McDonald, because I think if I don't select him at my turn, Tim is going to have a pretty solid 1-2 punch despite not getting the top three starting pitchers that I think we have, Bones. And then after him, There are two positions that are a little bit thin, and I think I could look towards either one of them. But I'm going to start with that starting pitcher that I would have to imagine that Tim would select if I don't select him here, and that's Storm Davis. 202 games, 123 of them starts, goes 61-43 in his Orioles career with a 3.63 ERA. I think this is an easy pick here, quite frankly, because there's a steady drop-off in war and just caliber of pitcher in my eyes after Storm Davis. And like I said, I think if I don't take him here, then Tim would scoop him up with his next selection. So Storm Davis is going to be my first of two picks. Again, another two-time World Series winner here for Davis. Yep. We take that.
Good player on that 1983 team, and definitely a good starter. And I think that pretty decent value for where you got him. So not a bad pick at all, Brendan. I think you should be happy with that.
And then after this, again, there are two positions that I'm looking at where they're both relatively thin, and there's two guys that have right around the same baseball reference war, as that is what we are looking at a lot of the time when we are making our big boards here. And I think I'm going to go with the position that feels a little bit more thin to me than the others, and that's going to be at second base. Okay. To finish out my infield here, and I'm going to go with Rich Dower. Over 1,100 games in an Orioles uniform, that baseball reference war up at 14.5 was a really solid offensive player. That offensive war up towards 11. I'm happy with this selection of Rich Dower because after him in the infield, I wanted to get this second base, third base shortstop out of the way pretty early on in the draft because I think after Rich Dower, it gets relatively thin. So Rich Dower at second base, I'm happy with putting him in my lineup here.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. You talk about the depth at second base not being fantastic, and I think Rich Dower is probably one of the best picks you could make there. The only other guy on the board that was a double digit, other than the first two guys that flew off at that position, double digit war, that is. So I think you should be pretty happy about that, Rich Dower.
So before we get back around to Tim with his next selection, let's run real quick through our rosters here. I've got my infield pretty well set. Rich Dower at second base, Cal Ripken Jr. at third with Brian Roberts at short. And then I've got my first two starting pitchers in Mike Flanagan and Storm Davis. Bones, tell me about your roster.
Yeah, you obviously have made one more pick than Tim and I, so don't go running away with that. But, you know, I've got one of the best infielders the O's have had in Manny Machado in terms of pure talent, but also numbers. So I'm very happy to have Machado at shortstop. Maybe we'll see him drift over to third base at some point, but you got the rookie of the year and world champion Al Bumbrey in center field. Of course, very happy to have him as well in that rookie of the year season. He had a near 900 OPS.
Yeah, it's really just pumping the tires on this roster, man.
Fantastic player. And then we easily have the best rotation thus far with the Hall of Famer Mike Mussina and Mike Boddicker, the world champion, on our roster. So I'm very happy with what we've got thus far.
Tim, that brings us to you. Break down your roster and then make your next selection.
So far, with the second overall pick, I took Eddie Murray at first base, and then I went for Bobby Gritch, who is currently in my shortstop position with my number five overall pick or second pick in my team's draft so far. And then Nick Markakis is in my outfield at this point, which I'm happy to have him. Gold Glover, great bat. Everyone knows who Nick Markakis is. I don't have to get into him that much more. And I took Ben McDonald to start my rotation. So he is my ace right now. And with my next pick, I'm again sort of torn. It's this picking second thing. I'm going to keep complaining about it, how I just don't know what it'll be and what will get back to me. But I think this guy has slipped up and fallen long enough. And third base is a position of need in this draft, and it is another thin position. So I'm going to take Doug DeCinse, who I think I've drafted before, like maybe now two or three times. He just always seems to fall to me or be taken by me in these fantasy drafts. So I'm going to take the third round pick in the 1970 draft, Doug DeCinse, a combined 22.9 baseball reference war for the Orioles. Technically over nine seasons. Really, it's basically over seven seasons when you look at his game logs and things like that, and a guy who succeeded Brooks Robinson at third base and did a terrific job of that. So maybe an underrated player when you look back through the history, and I'm very happy to have third base kind of sealed up at this point because I was a little bit worried that's a position that gets kind of dire later in the round.
Yeah, and that's,
a sneaky good pick with Doug DeSensei because if you weren't careful,
you might not have Doug DeSensei on your board because he wasn't selected in the traditional amateur draft. He was selected in the 1970 MLB January draft. In the second phase, in the third round of that draft. Sneaky good pick there with Doug DeSensei, getting him at your third base spot there, Tim. That's just flat out good research is what that is.
It's great preparation by Tim, and you knew he was going to have that. So, I mean, going up against Tim in one of these, you know his brain's going to be working overtime. And these are the things you got to prepare for, but he gets them anyway.
Yeah, he does. That's a good selection there from Tim Leonard. Bones, that brings us back to you with your next two picks.
Yep. I'm going to take the first guy from behind the plate here, another position that I don't think has a ton of depth, and a guy that I really like and, of course, was a four-time All-Star, two-time Gold Glover in the Oriole uniform. That's Matt Wieters.
That's a good pick there with Matt Wieters. He was another one that I was considering with my picks a couple of selections ago, but Wieters certainly high up on my board. Matt, you've got another selection.
I do, and I'll tell you what, I'm not ready for it.
You're not.
I wasn't because I was really thinking about Doug, and now that Tim's got him, this becomes a whole lot more difficult. You know, when you look around the other infields, they're kind of filled up, and I kind of want to be in that group as well, so I think I might go to first base here. I think I might go to first base.
Ooh.
And I'm going to take Trey Mancini. Right here. Trey Mancini is my pick. We get some more power in the infield. Of course, Trey Mancini, a later round pick, 249th overall in the eighth round of the 2013 draft. I'm happy to have one of the biggest fan favorites in Orioles history on my team. Thank you for writing that, Brendan. You're just the man.
Just the Trey Mancini.
Tim, I hear Tim.
Yeah, a little bit further down on my big board, but look, I think I'm not going to knock Trey Mancini. I think we all love Trey Mancini, and great story. And you're right, was kind of a sneaky good pick for the Orioles. When you look through a lot of these guys we've talked about so far, first, second, third round type of selections, and Trey was grabbed in the eighth round. So one of the better picks in that sort of time period for the Orioles.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly. I have to agree there. I think Trey Mancini is a really solid pick. Tim, you're up next.
Go back to starting pitching. I cannot put it off much longer because if you guys keep going for starters and then I'm really looking at scraping the barrel once we get towards the later stages of the draft here, I'm going to go for a guy who was a sixth round pick in the 1999 draft by the Baltimore Orioles, and that is one Eric Bedard, which is kind of a sneakier option here as a starting pitcher. Not going to wow you, but a lefty to complement Ben McDonald at the start of my rotation. And a guy who really his baseball reference war did not play a ton of seasons with Baltimore, just five seasons, but 2.56 average per season is outstanding. Finished fifth in the Cy Young voting in 2007 when he had a 3.16 ERA that year. High strikeout guy and just a solid, consistent pitcher to sort of make my rotation get a little bit better and in a position of need right now in the draft for me.
That's a great pick.
Yeah, I think there is a pretty big gap between Eric Bedard and the next starting pitcher on my board. I think this is going to just about wrap up part one here of our fantasy draft. I'm going to make one more pick as we wrap up here, and then we will start up part two with my next selection after that. Man, this is a tough decision for me here. There are a lot of potential guys to look at. I could go back to the starting rotation. Well, I could go with somebody who is on the current roster. That would give me a nice boost. I could go with two guys on the current roster that could give me a nice boost. So with my final selection in this part one of our all Orioles draft, I'm stalling here. I'm actually going to go a little bit further down my board.
Wow.
And draft maybe a surprise here just because I don't want to miss out on one of my two guys at this position. I'm going to go with Adley Rutschman.
Wow.
WAR close to 10 in his career. I know we don't have a lot of full seasons here of Adley, but WAR close to 10 in his career. And last season from Adley, that peak is some of the best we have seen from a catcher in an Orioles uniform. So I know the WAR is a little bit down just because he doesn't have as many games under his belt, but I'm going to go Adley Rutschman, the number one overall pick back in 2019, because I do not want to miss out on one of these top two catchers.
Catcher just got a whole lot thinner, and that's got Tim thinking. That's all I'll tell you. I think it does.
It's a good pick, Brendan. I think it's going to benefit you in the social graphic a little bit as well. I'm not saying that's why you did it, but I do think it's a position of need. I think it was at the right time. He was a guy that I figured someone was going to kind of reach for, but I understand why you did it. And honestly, when you look at Adley and the WAR that he's already accumulated, like, it kind of puts into perspective just how heady the territory is that Adley Rutschman is in, and just how exciting the start of his career is to already have his name be brought up on part one of the All Orioles draft is pretty remarkable with just two seasons.
I think it's a little bit of a reach WAR-wise and game-wise, but again, his peak of last season is some of the best that we have seen from any catcher in an Orioles uniform. Before we wrap up here with part one of our All Orioles draft, goodness, I keep slipping over that. Let's run through the rosters one more time. I've got my infield pretty well filled out with Adley Rutschman catching, Rich Dower, Cal Ripken Jr., and Brian Roberts in the middle of the infield. Mike Flanagan, my first starting pitcher, and Storm Davis as my number two starter. Tim, break down your roster for us.
So I started with Eddie Murray, then we went to Bobby Gritch at shortstop. Nick Markakis was my third selection in the outfield. Doug DeCinse also is in my position player group right now at third base. Happy with how my bats are looking and my starting pitching, as we've talked about, might be a little bit of a weakness, but I think I can scrounge through the later rounds and get some good selections. We got Ben McDonald and Eric Bedard as my two starters right now.
For me, we've got easily the best rotation.
Oh, my gosh. Here goes this guy again.
Mike Mussina, Mike Botticle. They'll make a nice battery of Matt Wieters. Got Trey Mancini in first base. Manny Machado is my second round pick at shortstop. And then the rookie of the year, Al Bumbrey, in center.
Well, look, I think we've got three pretty close competitive rosters here in part one of our All Orioles draft. God, if I could get that sentence out, it would be awesome. It would make for even a better show. Big thank you to Tim Leonard for joining us here for part one of the draft. We're going to be back with part two. It's going to be a bonus episode that we will have coming your way in just a few days. But thank you so much for tuning in to this week's edition of The Bird's Nest. Big thank you to Amy Jennings behind the scenes for producing this one. For Tim and Bones, I am Brendan, and we'll catch you next time.